Service, and let's take our seats and get our hymns and turn to hymn number 253. Hymn number 253. Let's sing the song, He Must Be Born Again. Hymn 253, He Must Be Born Again. On the first, everybody sing. Our Lord once came to Jesus by night to ask Him the way of salvation. Answered in words true and plain, He must. your guidance, O God, as we conduct our first service. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless Brother Saki as he preaches to us a sermon, and help us to be attentive, O God. And I pray that you would also take care of members who are still coming here, Lord. I pray that you would also bless the fellowship, the congregational singing, the reading of your word, and also that you would also give us a chance to go out this afternoon and do so. We're asking all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today. And on the front of our bulletin is our verse of the week, 1 John 2, verse 16. The Bible reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And that's a great verse there. And we are a family-integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the church services. We do have a mother-baby room back there for your convenience, as well as the ladies' comfort room. The men's restroom is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the service. Maintain a professional atmosphere and keep the children from running, making noise during the church services. On the next page, we have our service times listed. First service is at 10 a.m., and then we have a short break in our 11:15 service. Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Official soul winning times listed, 4 p.m. on Wednesdays, meeting here at the church building. Then on Saturdays at Queso Memorial Circle all day, 10 to 12, lunch provided by church, and then 2 to 4. And then, of course, we do have soul winning around 1:45 here today. Obviously, weather permitted, which is just, you know, this time of year, you never know. Our salvations and baptisms are listed there for all of our churches for the year as well as the month. Birthdays and anniversaries down there below for the month of July. The next page, our Bible memorization challenge. Today is the last day to quote Matthew 4, verses 12 through 25, which will be the second sermon here today. As you can see, the option number 2 for this next week is in Genesis, because I'm not going to be able to finish the Sermon on the Mount series before we visit the U.S. here in a few months. And so we're going to take a break before we start the Sermon on the Mount from the book of Matthew and just preach other things until then. And so this will be the last sermon in Matthew, at least for a few months. But today is the last day for Matthew 4, verses 12 through 25. Of course, ages 8 to 10 and below 8, it's still the same memorization for the prize. Upcoming activities in 2 weeks is our monthly prayer meeting. And our current and upcoming series, we are in the alphabet of Bible doctrines as well as the book of Matthew. Information on our group chat. And then on the back, there's a place for both of the sermons, notes for both of the sermons here today. So I believe that's it for announcements. We'll have Brother Marlon lead us in another song.
For our next song, let's turn to hymn number 254.
Tell the joy to the square, everybody. please open your Bibles to the first letter of John. First epistle of John, chapter 2. First John, chapter 2. And we are going to read the verses 1 to 17. First John 2, 1 to 17. Please say amen when you're there. My little children, we think right I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I have write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had heard, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto your fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto your little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto your fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither think that I am the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Let us pray. Thank you, our Father, for the day. Thank you for everyone here. Please help us to understand your sermon. Please help us to understand the word. Lord, please give open willy our hearts and help us always to apply the thing that we hear. Also, please bless the preacher and anoint him. And we pray in his name. Amen.
All right, we're here in 1 John chapter 2, and for this sermon series, the Alphabet of Bible Doctrines for the letter W, we're looking at worldliness here today. But before I get into the sermon, I want you to keep your finger here. We're going to come back. But the last verse we read talked about having to do the will of God to abide forever. And it's not the only verse that people turn to and they say, well, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be saved, you got to do God's will. You got to keep the commandments. You got to live a good life. You got to do all these things. So keep your finger here and turn to John chapter 6 in your Bible. John chapter 6. And the Bible says in John 6, verse 40, John 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So when we're looking at the will of God, obviously there are a lot of things in the will of God. It is God's will that you read the Bible every day. It's God's will that you pray without ceasing. But, you know, it starts with believing on Christ for salvation, because if you never believe, you're going to spend forever in hell. And truly, nobody perfectly does the will of God. But people try to turn you there and say, well, see, you've got to do the will of God to go to heaven. You got to repent of all your sins. You got to live a good life. You got to be baptized. You got to change your lifestyle. But when it comes to doing the will of God, it starts with believing on Jesus Christ. And if we had to perfectly do his will, well, then we're all going to hell because none of us perfectly do his will. It starts with believing on Christ, and that is what salvation is. Go back to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Now, in this topic of worldliness, point number one, let me give you a summary of what worldliness is. Because if you were to use that term outside of a church setting, and you're to tell somebody, hey, you know what, you're worldly, they'll be like, what are you talking about? You know, what does it mean to be worldly? What are you saying, right? And so when you think of the world or this life, it's basically the things of this life. And when it comes to the world and being worldly according to the Bible, here's the thing. There's a lot of things in this life that are not sinful. They're not wrong. But the thing is, if you love those things, then you would be, by definition, worldly. I mean, there's certain things that we need to do every day. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you put on your clothes, you eat breakfast, you know, you check your email or whatever you have to do every day, you work your jobs, and there's nothing sinful about those things. But if you were to love the world and be infatuated with those things, that's where the problem is, okay? So certain things of this world and this life are not necessarily sinful, but when you love those things, that's what you'd say is a worldly person, okay? Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. As I talked about last week, when you're looking at various sins, you can basically put them under three categories. Jesus was tempted with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Three different temptations that were mentioned. Okay, guys, I'm not going to compete with the babies here today and the children. You guys need to keep control of the children, okay? Last week, my patience was tested. I'm not going to try to over-preach the children. Suffer the little children, but at the same time, there's a balance here, okay? And so the Bible says, love not the world. There are things that we must do in the world, but when you love those things, then you are worldly. And the Bible says, don't love those things. We live in this world. There's things that we have to do, but don't make this world your life and your home. It's not your home. You're just passing through. You're here for a short time. Verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look, God does not just want you to believe on Him and be saved. He also wants you to live an obedient life, obey His commandments, and live a separated life and not attach yourself to the things of this world. Go to James chapter 4. James 4. James chapter 4. James 4, verse 4. And the Bible says in James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And see, the Bible says when you become a friend of the world, you become the enemy of God. You say, why is that? Because people have this idea, well, I'm not choosing this side or this side. I'm just going to stay neutral. You can't stay neutral. You got to make a decision. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side or are you on the world's side? Right. And here's the truth. Usually God's side and the world's side, they don't line up. Right. I mean, the world we live in today, you got to make a choice. Are you going to side with God or are you going to side with the world? Right? There's no in between. And when you say, well, I want to just kind of meet them in the middle and become friends with the world to try to move them our direction, you become the enemy of God, the Bible says. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, it's like, you know, part of me every single day, every single week, I'm shocked with the things that I read going on in the world and the news. And part of me, I'm not shocked at all because it's like something bizarre. It would shock me if nothing shocked me, right? I mean, just in the last couple weeks, it's just like a week ago, Netherlands declared a man to be the most attractive woman in the country. And it's like everyone's applauding like that. That's normal. You know, our Miss Universe representative is a man. And I'm just like, what? And then just a few days ago, you got this drag queen here in the Philippines that's dressing like Jesus, like a female version of Jesus, and mocking. And you know, it's becoming very common. It's like there's something like that all the time on the news. and the media is trying to shove it down your throats. Hey, this is normal. Accept it. Right? I mean, you know, you don't have to do it yourself, but you need to be accepting of it. It's like a few weeks ago, it's like they made prayer illegal in parts of Ireland. It's like recently I just saw in the news in parts of the U.S., they forced the kids in school to watch drag queen shows. And it's like you see this like week after week after week. Look, God's side and the world's side, they don't line up together. And if you say, well, you know what? I don't want to be too harsh. I don't want to be too mean. I want to be a positive only preacher. I don't want to use the word sin. I don't want to offend anyone. You're becoming a friend of the world and you become the enemy of God. Right. I mean, call the things that are sin a sin and don't hold back. Right. Where do you see in the Bible where it's like, well, you know, this is not, you know, my choice, you know, but is that really how Jesus spoke in the New Testament? Right? It's like, man, that saying, you know, reproaches us, and then he, like, condemns them also. Right? And you know what? And here's the thing. When you look at the way the world is, and you look at the way of what God says, people that believe the truth and want to serve God and have a good heart, it's like during the week you get brainwashed by the world and you're told it's so common, it can make you start to think, maybe I'm a little bit over the top. And you need to be in a church where you say, hey, actually, this is the side that's crazy. You're the one that's normal. Because look, either the world is insane or we're insane. Right, right. There's no in between. Either the world's insane or I'm insane. And you make the choice. Right now, it's possible that both sides are insane, but you can't say that both sides are fully sane. Right? And I'm sorry, but when you have drag queens dressing up as Jesus, I think that's crazy. Right. When you have Miss Universe pageants represented by men, I'm sorry, I think that's crazy. Right. And then here's the thing, you know what? If you were to say that, a lot of people would agree with that. Yeah, you know what? I don't think that we should elect a guy to be the most attractive person in our country. But then I'd take it a step further and say, why are there beauty pageants? Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's complete vanity. And they, well, wait a minute, you're going a little bit too strong. Brother Stuck, I mean, often the Philippines wins these things, right? And it's like, look, I'm sorry, but when you look at the world and what's going on in the world, you need someone to preach the truth and not hold back about what the Bible says. And if you become friends with the world and say, well, you know, I want to kind of go in between, where it's like, I disagree with them, but you know what, this side's a little bit too radical. It's like you're becoming friends with the world and you're becoming the enemy of God. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is just, point one is the summary of worldliness. I haven't even gotten into the preaching yet. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What the Bible's saying is endure difficulties as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And what the Bible's using is an earthly example, saying if somebody's going out to battle, they're in a war, they don't focus on the things of this life. Can you imagine being in the middle of a battlefield where sides are shooting one at another, and you say, wait a minute, let me see who won the basketball game here. Right? Hold on one second. It's like you'd say that's insane, right? You're going to get shot. You're going to get killed. And what the Bible's saying is, hey, we are involved, whether you realize it or not, in spiritual warfare. And look, you can choose to not get involved and not fight the battles. It doesn't change the fact you've got God's side and you've got the world where Satan is the god of this world and they're fighting one another. And so here's the thing. If you are saved and you want to enlist in the fight and serve God, you don't focus on the affairs of this life. Right. And if you focus on the affairs of this life, what would be the word for that? Worldly. You're focused on this world. You're focused on this life rather than focusing on heavenly things and spiritual things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, I just want to get along with everybody. Right? You know, imagine you're in the middle of a war, right? And look, I don't follow the news that much. I know Russia and Ukraine, you know, I don't know the details or whatever. But imagine if you're just kind of in between saying, you know, I just want to support both sides. It's like you're going to have to make a choice when you're in the middle of a battlefield. And here on earth, it's like, well, you know, I want to take this side and this side and just kind of join them together. Doesn't work that way, my friend. You've got a line in the sand, and you've got to decide, are you on God's side or are you on the side of the world? It's one or the other. And if you go in between, you're siding on this side. That's the way it works. I mean, when the Bible says, hey, whose side are you on? And it's like, all right, I'm just going to put my feet out really far so I'm on both sides. Right? No, you got to decide, are you on this side or are you on this side? That's the way it works. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world. And the course of this world is like being on a path. And it's basically saying that, you know, before you were saved, you walked according to the path of this world. Now, it might have been this path or this path or this path, but none of them are spiritual and heavenly and correct paths. Before I was saved, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. By human standards, I was I was a homeschooled kid, so I lived a pretty separated, clean life compared to others. But it's not like I was on the path of God where I'm reading the Bible and going soul winning. It's like, no, everybody walks according to the course of this world before they're saved in one way or another. And the Bible says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So everybody, before they're saved, they're not following God's path and doing what God wants them to do. You know, before I was saved, you know, I spent all my time on sports. Is that as bad as getting drunk? Well, no, but it's not the same thing as going soul winning and getting people saved and reading God's word, right? Turn your Bible to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. So look, the summary of worldliness is basically being attached to the things of this life. Now, it is possible to go too far onto an extreme because there's something called asceticism, right? Who's familiar with that term, an ascetic or asceticism? And it's really common in India and with the Eastern religions. And over in India, there's religions like Jainism where they'll say that to stop the cycle of reincarnation, you have to be fully separated from the things of this life. And so the Jain monks, they don't wear any clothes. They literally walk with zero clothes on. They are against brushing your teeth. Don't be attached to the things of this world. They're against using toilets. And oftentimes they die via starvation. And it's like, well, we know that they reached their enlightenment because they no longer have any attachments to this world. That's retarded because there's things in this life that are not sinful that we have to do. Put on clothes. Eat food. Right? Basic necessities. Go to work and make money. Of course, there's lots of the Bible that supports that. But when it comes to these things, it's one thing on putting a pair of clothes on. It's another thing being obsessed with the nicest clothes and the nicest fashion and just being obsessed with shopping and things like that. Well, then you'd say that person's worldly. Right? Now, here's the thing. I guess it's kind of understandable with ladies, but if you're a guy that's obsessed with shopping, get right with God. Right? It's just like, you know, literally in the morning, it's like, I didn't even know what color my shirt was. You know, the kids are in the room, it's dark. I just pulled out whatever. Right? It's like, you know, who cares? Right? But it's like when you love these things, that's called being worldly. Now, there are things that are not sinful, things that you have to do in life, and things that are just basic necessities or things that you enjoy doing. But when you love those things and put your heart on the things of this life, that's worldliness. And what you could ask yourself is, well, when I'm in the shower, when I put my head down to go to sleep, and I've got 15 free minutes, and I'm just thinking, what are you thinking about? If you're thinking about the Bible, if you're thinking about your family, you're thinking about, you know, church and soul winning, well, then you're right with God. But if you're thinking about everything going on in the world, That's worldly, by definition. I mean, ask yourself, what are you focused on? The things of this life or the things of God? Point number one, we saw a summary of worldliness. Point two, let us see shine. Shining. Point two, shining in this dark world. Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the Bible tells us that we should be shining in this world. And the basic idea would be this, that this world is a very dark place. And so you've got, you know, this world, it's very dark, and the point is that you're going to shine. I know it's not that dark in this room, so it's hard to see, but basically, as the world gets more dark, you ought to be shining, and it should be very evident where the light is, right? When the power goes out in your house, what do? You put on the light on your cell phone. You put on a flashlight or whatever because you want to see. And the Bible's saying, this world is getting crazy, that you ought to be different than the world. Right. But if you watch the exact same things the world does, and you listen to the exact same music the world does, and you're interested in the exact same things that the world is, you're not shining at all. And you're worldly. You're just like the world, and you love the affairs of this life rather than the things of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look, this world is so insane in 2023. If people don't think you're different at all, there's something wrong with you. I mean, there's literally something wrong if people look at you as the exact same as all the other coworkers. Right. I'm not saying we should intentionally try to be strange or intentionally try to, you know, be at enmity with people. But if you just go about your normal life in 2023, there's going to be a big difference if you're serving God. Otherwise, you're just trying to fit in with the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world, referring to the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has commanded us to be lights shining in a dark and sinful world. Go in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I don't know, maybe it's because I've been saved for a while, but like now, since I've been saved for a long time, sometimes I say things that I think are just like normal things, and then people get offended, and it's just like, you know, it just shows you how strange the world is. I remember at my job a long time ago, and it was like 15 years ago, and I remember there was someone, they were talking about someone at work who was raised with, you know, by a single parent. They didn't have both parents in the home, and I said, yeah, you know, that's really difficult, only having one parent. And one of my coworkers was extremely offended by me saying, that's difficult, only having one parent. And I was just thinking, I didn't even think I said anything offensive. I thought it was just like, you know, a normal thing in the conversation. It's like, how dare you say that? And it's like, but the world, I mean, look, if people brought up, you know, hey, this person, he's raised by two homos. He said, oh, man, that's got to be difficult. What do you mean by that? That's the world that we live in today. And it's like, I'm sorry, but we're not the ones that are crazy. Because here's the thing. God's word is not changed. It is not changed one bit. And even though the world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse, doesn't change the fact God's word stays the same. It's like, well, you know, that was that culture during that time period. I'm sorry, I don't believe the word of God changes. I believe the word of our God shall stand forever, the Bible says, and it hasn't changed. Look, it's like, well, you know what? The world doesn't accept the Ten Commandments in 2023. Let's just change them to meet the times. I mean, we live in an idolatrous country, so let's just remove the Second Commandment so we don't offend 70% of this country that are Catholics. No, the word of God doesn't change. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It doesn't change because we live in a culture that is idolatrous. I mean, if you lived in India or a Buddhist country or something like that, well, I can't say this. It might offend people. And in this culture, idolatry is okay. Doesn't work that way. God's word stays the same. Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know what? When you think about raising kids, you know, sometimes you think about the future and it can be a bit scary. I think about the future of my kids and I think the world. And in 20 years when my son Zeph is 25 years old, I really have no idea what the world's going to be like. It can be kind of a scary thing. But, you know, the other way that you could look at this is the fact that the world is getting dark and very sinful. It's like when you're serving God, you're going to shine a lot brighter than you would 50 years ago. Because honestly, the things that we believe 50 years ago, they wouldn't have been considered very extreme. They would have been considered normal. Now, the world's changed. And here's the thing. Since we stay the same, or we should stay the same, you will shine out a lot more in this world. Because the world is so incredibly dark and sinful. And I'll tell you what. You know, one thing I've seen over these last several years is a lot of people that were sort of on the fence before, just general people I know, not necessarily at our church, but just relatives and people I know. It's like now it's like we're 100% in agreement. Now, they haven't said the exact words, you know, you were right. But it's kind of like whenever I talk to them, they're just like, yeah, this world is insane. It's like the government's trying to do this and this and this and this. And they used to think I was a bit extreme, but now it's like, actually, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. And so what's taking place is some people are waking up because the world is so crazy. And a lot of people are looking at this saying, hey, this is not normal. I mean, this is strange. It's bizarre. And it's not just in the Philippines or just in the U.S. This is happening worldwide. Anyway, it's funny because the world will criticize the Bible and say it's unfair. And you know what God says is, are not my ways equal and your ways are unequal. And you look at this, you know, there's this big feminist movement that is spreading around the world. And, you know, here's the thing. What's funny about this is if you would think of feminist movement, because I believe in the feminist movement. I believe in women being feminine. I believe in women being like women. Men like men and women like women. I believe in the feminist movement. Now, I don't believe in this so-called feminist movement. But what the feminist movement is trying to do is turn women into men. And it gets so bizarre, there's actually men out there around the world that have tried to give birth. And it's like, are you insane? You know, but you know, it's like they say that they're trying to equalize everything out, but in reality, it's unfair to women. I mean, even now, like in sports competitions, they let men compete in women's events because they identify as a woman. I'm just thinking, what? Even like, I mean, literally, even in fighting sports, it's like, you know, you'll have men knock women unconscious, but since they identify as a woman, it's like it's perfectly acceptable. And I'm the one who's crazy? I mean, does that seem normal to you? But that's the world that we live in 2023. And I have no idea what the world's going to be like in 2033, 2043. But one thing I do know is there are going to be people, because we're seeing it now, people that are waking up and saying something's wrong with this world. And so instead of being afraid to preach the truth, what Baptist churches should do is stand up and preach the truth. And what they're doing is they're afraid to say this, and they say, we can't reach the young generation with preaching like this. Look around the room. There's a lot of young people, young husbands, young wives, young moms, young dads in this room. It's like they're people that enjoy this preaching. Say, yeah, you know what? That's right. I believe that, right? But Baptist churches are trying to be like the world. And so you've got the general world itself is getting crazy. You've got the non-denominational churches like Victory, CCF going this direction. And then you got the Baptist churches. They're kind of going in between. Let's change the music. Let's change the Bible. Let's shorten the sermons. right? Instead of just standing up and preaching the truth. Look, if we started to do that at this church, I mean, because I've been in a church service before where Knocking on Heaven's Door was a song that was sung, an old rock song from 40 years ago. Wow. By the way, that song is about doing drugs to the point you're knocking on heaven's door because you're about to die. That sounds like a great, you know, song to sing in church. You know, at the same, like, church event, they also one time sung Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. It's like, why not Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin? Why stop there? Right? But why would they do something like that? Because they're trying to fit in with the world. So the strategy by human logic is, well, let's act like the world to reach the world. And it logically makes sense. There's a problem with that. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And even though that seems right, it's actually not right. Because what actually works to reach people is just sticking with what God says and the old paths and the old time preaching and soul winning and not holding back. And you know what takes place? There's some people that get shaken into reality and they're like, you know what? That makes sense. Right? Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. Titus 2. So look, don't let it get you down that the world's insane. Just look at it as an opportunity to shine out as lights in this world. You can shine out more in 2023 than you could 50 years ago. Bible says in Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." And the Bible says that God wants his people to be peculiar, a little bit different. And the Bible's not saying to be strange on purpose. We should strive to fit in and be normal people, but not compromise our integrity. So if you work a job and you know, on your lunch break, you're reading the Bible, you're not going to office parties where they're drinking, you know, they'll look at you as peculiar, right? And I worked office jobs, and what people would have said about me is, he's a very polite person, very hard worker, but, you know, he's a bit different. It's like, what do you like to do for fun? You know, I like to go to church. You know, we go soul winning. You know, what's that? You know, I was like, you know what the Jehovah's Witnesses do? Yeah, that's what we do, right? And it's like, they think that's strange. Now, everybody would have said he's a very respectful person, he's a nice person, hard worker, but they would have looked at me and said that I'm a bit strange. Now, they never told me that, but I'm not an idiot. I'm sure that's what they thought of me. And here's the thing, that's a good thing. You say, why? Because look, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I don't want to be around people getting drunk. Right. Nor does God want you to do that. You say, but Brother Stocky, you know, but didn't Jesus turn water into wine? Look, I don't have enough time to teach you everything that you're off on in the Bible in one sermon. No, Jesus didn't help people get drunk. Okay? Titus 2, it says in verse 14, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And if you're zealous of good works, people will look at you as being a bit strange, a bit peculiar. Turn to James chapter 1. Actually, yeah, James 1. James chapter 1. And in James 1, the Bible says in verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." God says, I want you to be unspotted from the world. I want you to stand out a little bit, not have worldliness upon you, and not live your life in a way where there's something that they could critique and criticize. Look, we ought to be different than what the world is. And here's the thing, if you act like the world, they'll use that as an opportunity to criticize you for your Christianity. It's like, but wait a minute, you're getting drunk too, but they'll use that to tear you down. And the Bible's saying you ought to stand out and be peculiar, unspotted from the world, not lump yourself in with the world, but have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the Bible says. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now I'm going to ask somebody to be a volunteer. Can I, Brother Kyle, do you mind being a volunteer 1 second? All right. I want to help you understand this concept, okay? And so if you want to come over here, I'll stand here, just stand here. See, the problem with churches is they look at this idea of separation, of being a distance. So let's say this was 50 years ago, and Kyle here represents sin and worldliness and everything wrong, okay? I represent, you know, being, you know, the fundamental Baptist, okay? And it's my example, I get to make myself whoever I want, okay? But the way that people look at this is they look at separation as being a distance. Like, wait a minute, the world's here, and I'm here. They're watching these movies. I'd never watch those movies. I just watch these movies. They listen to this music. I'd never listen to that music. I listen to this music, and they look at themselves as being separated this far. Here's the problem. As we go in this direction, as 10 years go by, and he takes a step here, if you look at separation as being a distance, what direction do I go? I take one step closer. And then another 10 years go by, and you take a step that direction, and what do? Well, I'm separated from the world. Separation, and you can go sit down now, but separation, it's not a distance. It's a stand. It doesn't matter how crazy the world gets. So if you're like this far from the world and the world goes this direction, you don't stay this far away. Because right. Separation is you stand on what's true and you don't change. Right. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, you know, I used to have this stance, but now because of all these things going on in the world, I'm just, you know, it's like, no, separation is a stand. I mean, doesn't the Bible speak about not being moved? We sing that song in our hymnal, I shall not be moved. You stand in one place, and you don't change due to what the world does. But see, if you look at separation as being a distance, good luck 40 years from now what you're going to be like. And it's amazing to me when you speak to some people that are older. And you speak to people, just everyday people. I'm not saying fundamental Baptists. I'm saying just everyday people that wouldn't necessarily believe like we do. But 50 years ago, they would. 50 years ago, everything I preach would be considered normal. Nobody would think it's strange. And then it's like the world gets crazy, and what's taking place? People that used to stand here, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, you know what? I don't think that, you know, drag queens should dress up as Jesus, but what's wrong with drag queens? Literally, that's what people think. And especially here in the Philippines where you see drag queens everywhere. I mean, you walk around, you see it everywhere. And so people start thinking it's normal. But see, the problem with fundamental Baptists is instead of taking a stand, what you're seeing them do is become like the world. And I'm not saying all churches, because there are churches that are taking a stand and not shifting due to what the world is doing. But that's what's taking place. Because you can look at churches 50 years ago, and you know what? They would have been very similar in the sorts of beliefs and the preaching and the style of church. But yet they're changing to meet the world. You say, what's the problem? The problem is the world is insane. And the problem is God doesn't change. The same commandments that were true 50 years ago are still true today. Turn your Bible to Luke 8. Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 14. And the Bible says, so point number one, the summary of worldliness. Point two, shining in this dark and sinful world. Point three, there is a shove toward worldliness. And when I say a shove toward worldliness, think of magnets. You know, if you're like me when you're a kid, you try to put magnets really close to one another and then like separate them as you start feeling that pull. But once they get close to one another, you get to a point where it's like, right? Here's the thing. There is a shove or a pull toward worldliness, not toward godliness. It's not like somebody would wake up and say, hey, you know what? I don't have any interest in reading the Bible. I don't have any interest in going to church, obeying God's commandments, but I can't help myself. I mean, I didn't want to read the Bible, but I just can't help myself. No, there's no pull to godliness. The pull is toward worldliness, where it's trying to suck you in, and it's very easy to get swept away with the current, so to speak. Bible says in Luke 8, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. A lot of people get saved, they go about their life, they plan to serve God, they want to do what's right, but the problem is the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And once again, there are necessities that we need to do in life, and obviously, you know, we work jobs, we do our basic activities we have to do. And look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having success or having a nice house or going on a nice vacation or whatever, but when you love those things and you become attached to those things and you care about the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, what's the result? Well, you're not going to get people saved. You're not going to be serving God. And there is this pull toward worldliness. There's not a pull or a shove toward godliness. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. You know what Christians should stop doing is comparing themselves to other people, because this is what people do. They compare themselves to the world and say, well, I'm more righteous than them. I hope you are. I mean, the world we live in, that's nothing to be proud of. It's like, wow, really? That's great. As a guy, you don't dress up as a woman. Good job. That doesn't mean that you're right with God, though. And see, you got to stop looking at it and comparing yourself to other people, because when you compare yourself to other people, it's very easy to slide this direction because you're still better than them, right? But you got to realize this is what's right, and God's word does not change. And quite honestly, you know, and just a basic example of this. You know, and this is long before my time, but when Elvis Presley first was appearing on TV, he became famous, and, you know, they would have him perform on national TV, they would only do the video from the waist up because they said it was perverted to show the bottom half of his body dancing. Right? And look, he was wearing long pants and normal clothes like I'm wearing. But they said, this is what the world said. On TV, they said, it's perverted, it's wrong. Nowadays, not only do they show people dancing from the waist down, they're often not wearing clothes. Right? It's like, that's only 60 years ago. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, times have changed. God's word doesn't change. And I think we're the ones that are brainwashed by this world. Because when you read the Bible, you start realizing, you know what? Actually, I still have a lot of changes I need to make. Right? Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed to this world? It means to be worldly. That's what it's saying. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what the Bible's saying is this. We live in the world, and Satan is the god of this world. And you know, whether you like it or not, you're going to be inundated with what the world has to offer. And obviously, we should strive to avoid it as much as possible. But it's like, you know, when we were here preaching on Friday, you know, coming up from Pampanga, when we're on the victory liner the whole way, it's like they're blasting like Air Supply was the band, which I didn't even, never heard of Air Supply until recently. I mean, I had heard of some of the songs once I heard them, but I didn't know the name of the band or whatever. And it's like, here's the thing. I didn't want to hear that. I mean, I wish there was no video and no sound, and I'm just like, oh, man, I just, you know. But if you live in this world, you're going to have the world shove what it has at you. Right. You go to the grocery store, they're going to have music, right? And they're not going to be playing Amazing Grace or, you know, How Great Thou Art, right? Maybe at Christmas time you get, you know, some good songs, but that's about it, right? It's like you go walking about. We go soul winning later today. I mean, soul winning is a righteous thing. It's a great thing. And yet the way a lot of women are going to be dressed is showing off their nakedness. That's just the world we live in. And we're not going to be like the Amish or one of these cults that separates completely from the world, because we live in the world. What God says is live in the world, get people saved, but don't act like the world. Stand out as lights in a dark and sinful world. And look, you don't have to work that hard to stand out in 2023. You will stand out by living a normal and everyday life. in 2023. But what the world considers normal is very different than what actually is normal. Turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. So what you need to do, because you're inundated with what the world has to offer, you got to renew your mind on a daily basis with the Word of God. Where basically you get brainwashed by the world every single day, whether you like it or not. Even though you know it's wrong, you will get brainwashed by what the world has to offer because it's thrown in your face all the time. And what you need to do is spend time in God's Word, and you know what it does? You know, it renews your mind. You're transformed. It's also why you need to be in church as much as possible, because you hear the preaching, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not the only one that believes this. It's like all my coworkers say this, and these people say this, and they're doing this. And it's like, you know what? I'm glad to hear somebody say the truth. And it's not just me preaching a sermon. You look around, and everybody agrees with this stuff. In this room, we're trying and striving to serve God and stand out from the world, right? Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, not on things of this world." Now look, obviously there's things in this world that we do and are part of our lives, but don't set your heart to the things of this life. Don't set your affection to the things of this life. Your affection ought to be set to serving God, going to church, going soul winning, reading the Bible, the things of God. Love not the world, but set your love and affection on the things above and not the things of this earth. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So here's the thing. If you say, well, Brother Stuckey, I'm not a worldly person, and your proof of that is, you know what, the world does this and I don't do this. That's actually not a proof of whether or not you're worldly. Because once again, when it comes to being worldly and not being worldly, it's not about having a distance from the world. It's about standing on the truth. So you have to ask yourself, am I standing by what the Bible says? Right? And look, honestly, when it comes to a topic like this, all of us struggle to some level of degree with worldliness, obviously. None of us are perfect. None of us are 100% set on the things above. It's not like 24/7, all you do is think about God and soul winning and righteous things, right? Obviously, all of us struggle with worldliness to some level of degree, but it ought to be something that you're fighting against. You ought to realize that, you know what? If God is going to be pleased with me, I need to be obedient and do what he says. And so here's the thing. Point number one, we gave a summary of worldliness. Point two, we talked about shining in this world. Point three, there is a shove or a pull toward worldliness. And lastly, sliding back is possible for anyone. Backsliding is possible for anyone. You can be standing here and serving God and just trying to do everything right, and then you find yourself in 6 months all the way over here. It is possible for anyone. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And when you're reading the way that Paul is writing here, what you can tell is this is the last book that Paul wrote. Because he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to pass away. I have fought a good fight. He doesn't speak like that in the other books. So it's not chronological from Matthew to Revelation, okay? You've got it divided kind of into sections, basically. But you can tell by his wording here, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to pass away. I am now ready to be offered, right? He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, obviously, Paul was not perfect, but he's saying, I stayed serving God, reading the Bible, going soul winning, separating from worldliness and sin. I stayed faithful until the end. Verse 8. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." What is Paul saying about Demas? He's saying Demas became worldly, loving this present world. He forsook Paul. Why? Because he was worldly. Because he cared about the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Loving this present world. That's what worldliness is. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, you know, I'm not worldly. I hope that's true. But it is possible for you to be a Demas. You say, what do you mean, Brother Stuckey? What I'm saying is, it's possible that in 5 years you might be worldly. You say, that would never happen to me. It's good to have that attitude, but there's also Peter that kind of had that attitude in the Bible. Though all men forsake thee, I'm never going to. And at the same time, we ought to have this attitude that we're going to stand firm, but realize that, you know what, it's possible for anyone. Take heed lest ye fall, the Bible says. You got to realize there is a pull toward worldliness, and you've got to actively fight against it. See, one thing that can take place is you go to a church like this, and you're hearing this preaching, you realize this church is a very unique church compared to the average church that's out there, and you come soul winning, and you feel like, yeah, you know what, we're really the ones that are serving God and doing right and standing out from this crazy world. And it's great to go through those actions, but that doesn't mean that in your heart you're right with God, though. Because you can feel like you're right with God when you're at a church like this because of the preaching and because it's very unique compared to the other churches. But if in your free time you're not reading the Bible and you're focused on the things of this world, yeah, you could be the next Demas. Why did Demas leave Paul? Due to worldliness? And you allow a little bit of worldliness to creep in your life, and before you know it, you might start to be all the way over here. And look, this can happen to anyone. It could happen to me. It could happen to any of us. And here's the thing. The thing is, since the pull is this direction, it is a lot easier to head this direction than to stand firm here. Look, if there is a massive wind blowing through, a tornado, hurricane, or whatever, it's like you've got to fight not to move in this direction. And the wind is heading you this direction. The floods are heading you this direction. It's like you got to grab hold so you don't get moved. And if you don't have that attitude and you don't do what's needed, reading the Bible and renewing your mind on a daily basis, you will start to head this direction. What you need to do is just on a daily basis. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm so busy in my life. Set aside Facebook for 20 minutes. I'll still let you be on Facebook for 4 hours, just 20 minutes. I'm so busy. You're so busy on your cell phone all day long. I'm so busy. You're so busy on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. I mean, and look, obviously there are people in this room that are very busy, but all of us have the time to set aside at least, you know, 30 minutes in the morning to spend time with God. You say, why do I need to do that? Because the world is shoving you this direction. Every single day, you're getting brainwashed by the world. You've got to renew your mind. Because here's the thing. The stories I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, these things are insane. But if you're hearing these all the time and you're not getting renewed with the Bible, they will start to feel normal. It won't seem like a big deal. Now, if you're reading the Bible, though, and then you're hearing these stories, you're like, what is wrong with this world? But if you're not renewing your mind on a daily basis, you're going to start getting swept in this direction. You say, and here's the thing, when you think about being an independent fundamental Baptist church, which is what we are, when you think of being independent, when you think about being fundamental, one of the big things about being fundamental is the fact that you separate from the world and sin and worldliness. That's like the big thing. Now basically, hey, we're a church that also preaches against sin, because most churches don't do that. Most churches just preach the positive. They just want your money. They're not going to say anything negative. They don't want to offend anybody. It's like when you think about being a fundamental Baptist, the word fundamental, what you're really thinking of is, yeah, you know what? Standing firm on the truth of what the Bible says, regardless of what the world thinks. And look, if you don't make it an active point to read the Bible on a daily basis, you will head in this direction. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today, and I ask you to help all of us, including myself, to take heed to this message. Help us not to allow worldliness to creep into our lives. Help us to take a stand and not allow this crazy world to sweep us away or change our stances and our doctrines and what we believe and what we know is true and correct, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For our last song, let's amen. Let's have a short break.